started on your Spanish, what I said was, good evening, happy Sabbath. I'm so happy to be here with you today. I'm wondering if we get the projectors on. It is very good to be here with all of you at the Fallbrook Adventist Church, and I'm looking forward to a power-packed time together, not because of me, but because of what God wants to do for us and through us. Amen? Before getting into the message tonight, I actually want to share a few thoughts about prayer and spend a few moments in actual prayer together. When I do these revival events, I don't like to just talk about prayer, but actually spend time in prayer, because the power comes through prayer. Amen? A few days ago, well, before sharing, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for bringing us together this evening. We thank you for the rich blessings you have in store for us. Father, I just pray that you would richly outpour your spirit. I pray that you would speak through me to minister to your people, and I pray that you'd make your strength perfect in my weakness. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a few days ago, a friend shared with me the words of Andrew Murray from the devotional Daily in His Presence. And Andrew Murray asked this question. He says, what might be the reason that prayer is not for us a greater joy and delight? Okay. And one reason may be because we're not seeing more answers to prayers. Because in John chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So if we had more answers to prayers, I'm sure prayer would be more of a joy and a greater delight. But Andrew Murray goes on to say, how can we bring down the power and the blessing on those for whom we pray? And he says the primary answer is undoubtedly that our experience of blank is too limited. Let me read that again. The primary answer is undoubtedly that our experience of blank is too limited. What do you think he's saying? What do you think he is saying is too limited? Faith? Belief? Anybody else? Need? Okay, those are all excellent answers.
Trust?
Okay, those are all great answers. He says the primary answer is undoubtedly that our experience of the presence of God is too limited. What's too limited? The presence of God. When we pray, we do not seek after His presence with all our hearts. In Psalm 16:11, we are told, in His presence is fullness of joy. Fullness of what?
Joy.
Fullness of joy. You know, quite often we rush into God's presence and we're thinking about our problems and our needs and our wants and our desires instead of seeking to enter into His presence. Ellen White, in the devotional Christ Triumphant, which is a compilation of Ellen White's writings, the reading for February 15 is titled Pressing into Christ's Presence. Pressing into Christ's Presence. And what she says is, they have been satisfied to stand at the door. Satisfied to do what? Stand at the door. They do not press their way into Christ's presence to share with Him the glory of His royal life. So could this be the reason why prayer is not a greater joy and delight for most people? It's because we are satisfied to just stand at the door. And as I mentioned earlier, quite often our needs and our problems, self tends to be the focus when we need to make God the focus of our prayers. We need to seek God. We need to seek to enter into His presence. Prayer is about worshiping God, and it's about pressing in to His presence. Amen? In another place, in the Pen of Inspiration tells us, go to Christ for relief. Cling to Him. Stay long enough to yield up your will to the will of God. Many are in too great a hurry to pray. A great hurry to do what? To pray. With hurried steps, they pass through the shadow of Christ's loving presence, pausing perhaps for a few moments within the sacred precincts, but not waiting for counsel. I know that I'm guilty of doing that. I'll make sure I spend my time in the morning, each morning before I begin my day, but I'm hurrying through instead of waiting in his loving presence. She goes on to say they have no time to sit down, no time to remain with the divine teacher. With their burdens, they return to their work. How many of you can relate to this? You spend time in prayer, and you get up, but the burdens are still there. You don't have the sense that the burdens got lighter. Now, it has been said that the devil, if the devil cannot make you bad, what will the devil do? Yes, you've heard that before? The devil will make you busy. Anybody here going through the week just at breakneck speed, you're just too busy? Some of the busiest people I know, you know who they are? They're the pastors. Absolutely. They just simply have too much on their plates. So busy. So what if your problem is that you're too busy? What can you do about it? Okay, I want you to disabuse your mind of this idea that you're too busy to pray. Disabuse your mind of what idea? That you're too busy to pray. Have you heard of Charles Spurgeon? He was called the Prince of Preachers. And Charles Spurgeon says, sometimes we think we are too busy to pray. That is a great mistake, for praying is a saving of time. Yeah. Praying is a what? Okay. It's one of the devil's lies. You're simply too busy to pray. But it's a lie, because praying is a saving of time. By the way, Martin Luther was once asked about his plans for the following day, and his reply was, "Work, work from early until late. In fact, I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer." Because he understood, this great man of God, understood that prayer is a saving of time. So you have no excuse during the 10 days of prayer, amen? Martin Luther has said, the less I pray, the harder it gets. The more I pray, the better it goes. There's another individual, his name is William Temple. I don't know if you've heard of him. He says, when I pray, coincidences happen, and when I don't pray, they don't. In other words, when he prays, he sees more of God's providential working in his life. So are we too busy to pray or too busy not to pray? We're too busy not to pray. All right, so I want to spend a few moments with you in actual prayer before getting to the message. And hopefully the projectors will be up and running by then. Before we pray, let me share with you just a few more words from Andrew Murray. He says, we learn a great lesson when we come to understand that the deliberate quieting of our souls and minds before God is the secret of true adoration. What is, oh praise God, what is the secret of true adoration? The quieting of our souls and minds. By the way, it's not the emptying, but the quieting of our souls and minds. You know, how often do we go through the week, you know, so fast, and we don't take the time to be still, to quiet our minds and our souls? It is when we bow before God, recognizing his majesty and his holiness, his power and his love, and seek to give him the honor and the reverence and the worship that are his due, that our hearts awaken to the nearness of God and the working of his power. So with that, let's spend a few moments. For those of you who are able to, I want to invite you to join me on your knees, but if that's difficult for you, just please feel free just to sit in your chairs. Father in heaven, we thank you so much, Lord, for the privilege of prayer, the privilege of communing with you. And Father, at this time, we just want to bow low in nothingness before you, recognizing that you are the infinite, eternal God of the universe and that we are but mere dust. Father, teach us how to quiet ourselves our minds and our souls, and teach us what it means to honor you, to reverence you, and to worship you, Lord, in the next minute or so. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for inviting us into your audience chamber. We thank you so much, Lord, for the blessings that you have in store for us tonight. We also thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. And Father, at this time, we want to spend a few moments in confessing to you the things in our hearts, the things that come between you and us. Just pray that your Holy Spirit would search our hearts and show us what you would have us to confess to you just silently within our own hearts at this time. Father, thank you so much for hearing our prayers of confession. We thank you so much for your willingness to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And Father, we just want to spend just another minute or so just praying and pleading, Lord, for the outpouring of your Spirit. Father, our greatest need is for revival. We want a revival of primitive godliness. And we are told that revival comes in answer to prayer. So please, Lord, hear our prayers, our earnest prayers, Lord, for the outpouring of your Spirit. Father, you are faithful. We thank you for hearing and for answering our prayers. Father, I just pray that you'd prepare our hearts for the message this evening. I just pray that you'd open our eyes. Help us to see, Lord, the beauty of a leprosy ministry and what it is that you're calling us to do. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the message for this evening is titled, Reach the Lepers, Reach the World. Now, at the outset, I want to say something to you that's going to sound a bit odd, but I promise it's going to make complete sense by the time we get through the message. I believe that God is calling you to get involved in leprosy ministry. And if you will join me and my wife in doing leprosy ministry, together we can reach the world. Amen? I want you to be thinking, if each one can reach one. If each one can what?
Reach one.
Amen. I want to start with a warning. Some of the slides do contain graphic content. So China is a huge mission field with many unreached groups, and one of the unreached groups are the lepers. The country has over 600 leper colonies, or leprosariums as they call them, with over 250,000 lepers. Some say this is a conservative estimate. And we personally know of people who have walked on trails like this to get to some of the leper colonies in very, very remote areas. Many years ago, when there was no cure for leprosy, the lepers were sent away to islands or mountaintops in very remote areas like this. And at this leper colony, people that we know of have found lepers living in deplorable conditions like this. These lepers have been abandoned for decades by family, friends, and by society. They found this woman who was living by herself for 6 years in her room, all by herself. You can see the overgrown fingernails because she was not able to get out and there was no one to cut her fingernails for her. Mother Teresa, who saw the face of Jesus in the face of each sick and dying person she helped, has said, "The biggest disease today is not leprosy or tuberculosis. What do you suppose is the biggest disease today?" It's what? Yes, indifference. Very well. Very good. "But rather the feeling of being unwanted." Now, the lepers nowadays have all been treated with antibiotics, so they no longer have the disease, but they continue to live a life full of suffering and hardship because of missing limbs, fingers, and toes. Because of nerve damage, they don't feel any pain, and they literally reap horrifying consequences. Please understand that pain is a gift. Next time you stub your toe and you feel that pain, it's a gift. Pain is an indicator that you're in trouble. Pain is a gift from God. Now, as I mentioned, most have been treated with antibiotics, but it doesn't reverse the damage done to nerves or to organs. A couple of summers ago, I was at this one leprosarium, and a friend of mine and I decided to visit this one building here where they house the mentally ill leper patients. We're going to follow this grandmother into her room. She lives here with the chickens, and she eats out of the same bowl with the chickens. We wanted to help her, but she wouldn't let us come near her. We decided to visit this man who lived next door to her. And he spends his day sitting on his bed, staring off into space. Sometimes you'll see him smoking. And then he eats his meals several times a day when the meals are dropped off. And we were wondering about how we could help him in some way, how we could serve him. We noticed that his fingernails were long and needed to be cut. And then we took off his shoes, and we noticed that his toenails needed to be cut. Can you imagine what it must be like wearing shoes with such long toenails? Now, you can't use ordinary toenail clippers for nails like these. You have to use wire cutters. In the Spirit of Prophecy, in the devotional That I May Know Him, it says, "The lowliest service done for Jesus is the greatest honor mortals can enjoy." We all want honor, don't we? And for that reason, titles and position and degrees and accolades are also very important to us. But friends, if you want honor from God, do lowly service for Jesus. Amen? By the way, you don't have to go to India, you don't have to go to China to serve lepers to do lowly service for Jesus. There's plenty we can do in our local mission field. We decided to trim his beard and also give him a haircut. So here is the before picture, and here is the after picture. This one worker comes by several times each day to drop off food for the lepers. And this is another grandmother who lives in that same building. Friends, this is pure and undefiled religion. James chapter 1, verse 27 says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." Pure and undefiled religion. Jesus says, "As you have done it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me." Here's a close-up picture of that leper. All the lepers are handicapped in one way or another. This grandpa happens to be blind. In Bible times, of all diseases, leprosy was the most dreaded because of its incurable character, incurable and contagious character, and its horrible effect upon its victims. It's very, very dreaded. We had the privilege of working and living together with a team of volunteers who would serve the lepers in a variety of ways. As you can imagine, if you don't have limbs or fingers, you know, you would need the support of others. The volunteers would try to live by the golden rule: treat others as you would want to be treated. Do you have any idea what this is on the napkin? Any idea? There's a hint in the picture. They're not scabs. It's earwax that came out of this grandpa's ear. Some of the lepers in 40 years for the first time would have the earwax out of their ears removed. And do you suppose that would significantly improve their hearing? Absolutely. Yeah. It's actually a lot of fun to do that. Yeah. So the volunteers will go in and they'll clean their living quarters. Does this sink look pretty filthy? How does that look? We are told in Ministry of Healing, good deeds are twice a blessing, benefiting both the giver and the receiver of the kindness. The consciousness of right doing is one of the best medicines for diseased bodies and minds. What is one of the best medicines for diseased bodies and minds? Yes, it is the consciousness of right doing. You know, there are many Christians who are saying, "I'm sick, I'm hurting, how can I focus on the needs of others? I need to get healed first." But we have seen again and again, as we do leprosy ministry, that one of the best medicines for diseased bodies and minds is to focus on others and to help others in need. It's the consciousness of right doing. If those who are suffering from ill health would forget self in their interest for others, if they would fulfill the Lord's command to minister to those more needy than themselves, they would realize the truthfulness of the prophetic promise. "Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily." Now, where does that beautiful promise come from in the Bible? Where in the Bible? Anybody recognize that promise? It comes from the Old Testament. What book in the Old Testament? Isaiah, very good. Isaiah, which chapter? 58. It's a chapter that we're actually told we ought to commit to memory. It says, "Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out, when you see the naked, that you not hide your own flesh from them? Then shall your light break forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily." This is Sister Yu. She was suffering from very, very poor health. She had all these issues, and she had this serious problem with her stomach, and she saw a number of physicians, but nobody could help her out. And in a short amount of time, she lost 20 kilograms, and she was down to 40 kilograms. And she thought she was going to die. And then one day she cries out to God, saying, God, if you will heal me, I will serve you for the rest of my life. And within a few weeks, this one Adventist health professional contacted her, saying, I'm going to go serve in the leprosarium. Would you like to come with me? I think it would do a lot of good for you. And so she was willing to go with him. And she said, I will take care of you while we're there. And what that health professional said to the sister is, when you go there, don't think of yourself as a patient, because the lepers there are worse off than you are. So I want you to focus on serving them. And she went there, and as she began serving them, she realized two things. Number one, she realized the joy of serving. Number two, she began to experience healing take place in her body. By day number four, she knew that there was physical, emotional, and spiritual healing taking place in her body as she was focusing on others and serving them. And here she is, trimming the toenails, and she served them in a variety of ways. And we just saw this transformation take place in Sister Yu's life. Mother Teresa has said, the miracle is not that we do this work, but that we are happy to do it. Isn't that amazing? That we, who are sinful and self-serving, can actually enjoy serving others, can enjoy leprosy ministry. We are told in the spirit of prophecy, I saw that it is in the province of God that widows and orphans, the blind, the deaf, the lame, and persons afflicted in a variety of ways have been placed where? In close Christian relationship to his church. It is to prove his people and develop their true character. Angels of God are watching to see how we treat these persons who need our sympathy, love, and disinterested benevolence. This is God's test of our character. God's test of what? Our character. Many of the lepers need their wounds treated almost on a daily basis. Now, if you have a weak stomach, you probably don't want to look at the next few slides. Just want to warn you. Now you're all curious, right? When the bandage comes off of this grandpa's leg, that's what the wound looks like there. And this is the foot of a different leper. The Bible mentions leprosy more than 40 times. Why is leprosy mentioned so many times in the Bible? Because the leprosy is a graphic illustration of the destructive power of sin in our lives. Do you know how the Bible describes our condition as sinners? In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, it says, the whole head is sick and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. In Desire of Ages, we are told this world is a vast Lazar house. It's a vast Lazar house. How many of you are familiar with the word Lazar? The Merriam-Webster's dictionary says that the definition of Lazar is a person afflicted with a repulsive disease, specifically leper. Okay, so notice, in Desire of Ages, we are told that this world is a vast Lazar house. But Christ came to heal the sick, to proclaim deliverance to the captives of Satan. So in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world. Friends, I want you to understand, for God so loved this vast Lazar house, for God so loved the lepers like you and the lepers like me, that he sent his only begotten son. In John 20, verse 21, after Jesus has gone to the cross, okay, after 3.5 years of ministry, okay, he meets his disciples again. And do you know what he says to his disciples in John 20, verse 21? Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. God the Father sent his Son down to this earth to do what kind of ministry? To do leprosy ministry. And Jesus says, so send I you. You know, we often say that evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. I like to put it this way. Evangelism is one leper telling another leper where to find the cure. Would you extend your hand to a leper? Will you go out and do leprosy ministry? Jesus needs you to get involved because there are so many people all around us dying with the leprosy of sin and the leprosy of selfishness. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you have to go to China. You don't have to go to India to do leprosy ministry. We've got our work cut out for us in this area. Amen? There are lepers all around us. How does the spirit of prophecy describe leprosy? It is deep-rooted, deadly, and impossible to be cleansed by human power. The leprosy of sin. In Desire of Ages, we are told the missionary cannot only relieve physical maladies, but he can lead the sinner to the great physician who can cleanse the soul from the, what do you suppose she says next? From the leprosy of sin. You got it. And so this is our ultimate goal. It is to lead the lepers to Jesus, the great physician, who alone can cleanse the soul from the leprosy of sin, which is a far worse problem than the physical leprosy. We tell them, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Now for these lepers, do you think it's difficult for them to understand that truth? I'll tell you what makes it easy for them to understand that God would so love the world that he would send his only Son. The fact that these volunteers would come and live with them in the leprosariums when their own flesh and blood has rejected and abandoned them. When these lepers come and they live together with them, serving them on a daily basis, they understand this truth that God would send his only Son to this earth. And when they hear the news that Jesus is coming soon to take us home, do you think that's good news for them? Absolutely. It gives them a reason to live and to press on despite all the hardships that they experienced on a daily basis. They can't wait for the day when Jesus will come back and will restore their bodies. Will restore the missing limbs and the missing fingers and the toes. How many of you are looking forward to that day? Amen? This was on Sabbath. The lepers would come together to study God's word, to learn more about Jesus Christ. This one grandpa, he spends many hours in his wheelchair right outside the building that he lives in. He happens to be one of the happiest grandpas in the leprosarium. Now, he doesn't look that happy in this picture, but here he's smiling. Here's a close-up. I mean, he has a contagious smile. And sometimes when you walk by him, you'll hear him singing hymns. Sometimes you'll hear him reciting Bible verses. But for the most part, he spends hours just sitting in his wheelchair. And I've often wondered, you know, what is going through his mind? Because I could not imagine being in his shoes, being in his wheelchair. And so one day with my limited Chinese, I asked him, what do you think about all day long? Do you know what he said? Yes, Jesus. I was so happy to hear that. And then he said something which I couldn't understand. And so I pulled out my translation app on my phone. And he said, Emmanuel, hope Jesus comes soon. He's looking for Jesus. Waiting for Jesus to come back. It's what gives him hope. You know, I was one summer we were visiting the States and I was sharing about our experience in China. And this one person says, you know, it must be nice to be doing a work that makes you look forward to Jesus because frankly, here life is so good that we don't have that same longing for Jesus. I hope that's not the case with all you folks. I hope you are looking forward to the soon return of Jesus. Amen? We read these words earlier. Our world is a vast Lazarus house. We read these words in Desire of Ages, but these words also appear in the book Education. Our world is a vast Lazarus house, a scene of misery that we dare not allow even our thoughts to dwell upon. Did we realize it as it is, the burden would be too terrible, yet God feels it all. God understands the pain and the suffering that refugees around the world who are displaced from their homes, the pain and sorrow that they experience. Did you know that every day, over 24,000 people die of starvation? Every year, that comes out to more than 9 million people. Does Jesus feel their pain? Yes, he feels it all. Jesus beholds all the pain and the misery, and he longs to come back soon and bring an end to it all. When Jesus sees his children suffer, he suffers way more. Amen? I mean, you can ask any parent. And a parent will tell you that when they see their child suffer, they suffer more. The Bible says in all their affliction, he was afflicted. The quote goes on to say, in order to destroy sin and its results, he gave his best beloved. Who was that? That's Jesus. And he has put it in our power. He has put it where? In our power. Through cooperation with him to bring the scene of misery to an end. And what do you suppose she says next? This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Friends, do you want to help bring the misery on this planet to an end? Do you want to get involved in hastening the soon return of Jesus Christ? In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus says, go. Go into all the world. Go and do leprosy ministry because there are people everywhere dying with the leprosy of sin and the leprosy of selfishness. At this time, I want to invite our deacons to come forward, and they're going to give you a card, a green card. Friends, leprosy ministry is not rocket science. But it does require much prayer. With much prayer, we can minister to those who are dying. Every time you see this card, I want you to think of the message you heard tonight. I want you to think about the lepers who are actually suffering in China and other parts of the world. And I want you to think about the lepers that surround our communities and that they need to be reached. We won't read everything that's on the card. I'll let you read that on your own. But on the back side, there are seven lines. There are seven lines. And I want to encourage you to ask God, God, show me who it is you want me to pray for. Who are the seven individuals you want me to put on these seven lines? Perhaps there are already individuals, loved ones, that you're praying for on a daily basis. Go ahead and add their names. But ask God who else he would have you to pray for. Because God needs our prayers. He needs our cooperation with him in this work of taking the gospel to the world. Friends, if we will pray and we will watch. Pray and what? Pray and watch. God will give us opportunities to show people that he wants us to mingle with. People that he wants us to show sympathy to. People that he wants us to minister to. And he will open up opportunities for us to win their confidence using Christ's method. Using whose method? Christ's method. You know, for this year, I want to encourage you every day to lift up the names on your card. And I want you to pray, Lord, out of these seven names, give me at least one individual that I can personally lead to you. This year. Imagine if each person in this church, if each one could reach one this year and see one person accept Jesus and make a decision to enter the watery grave of baptism, wouldn't that be absolutely amazing? That would do so much for your faith. It will do so much to revive you personally. Imagine if every one of us were praying for seven names, but we could see at least one person come to Jesus this year. Wouldn't that be amazing? This time I want to play for you a video. At this time, I want to ask you to get into small groups of 4 or 5 individuals, and we want to just spend some time in group prayer. We want to pray that God would turn us into soul winners, that God would lay on our hearts a greater burden for souls so that we can finish the work. And friends, as our sister shared, you know, the worse than the physical leprosy is the spiritual leprosy. And as we cooperate with God in this work, He's able to work in us. God's able to do a work of healing in us. So let's take some time to pray for souls and that God would do a special work in our lives. And when your group is done praying, I ask that you just remain where you are until you hear the piano playing. And when you hear singing up here in the front, please join us in singing and we'll wrap up our time together. So let's come together with those nearest you, 4 or 5 individuals together to pray.
amazing. God is good. All the time, Michael says. I've learned a quote from the writings of Ellen White. It says, our Heavenly Father has 1,000 ways to provide for us of which we know nothing. Does anybody know that? But that's not the end of it. It says, to those who make the service of God supreme, it's not easy to do, will find perplexities vanish and a straight path before their feet. And I know I'm a leper, and I know I have a heart of stone, and I need a heart of flesh. I'm not pleased with the way my life is a lot of the time, so it's real important that I'm here, and I'm sure a lot of you are feeling the same way. So as we sing this song, we just pray for the presence of Jesus and his Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. She's going to play.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Mold me.
Thank you for that beautiful testimony tonight, Martin. And he has a lot more wonderful things to share tomorrow. Any early teens here tonight? Or at least those that go to the early teen room? So tomorrow, I understand you're going to be helping with potluck, right? Which we're so thankful for that. So it sounds like you're going to miss the second service. So I think Martin's giving the same message for the first divine service. So maybe you could come early so you don't miss that message. And then he's going to be actually sharing a message during Sabbath school. And so we're encouraging all the adults as well as junior high up to come be part of the Sabbath school message that Martin has to share with us. And it's good to see Michael here tonight. Michael's getting baptized at the beach tomorrow. So we're so excited about that, Michael. And so your church family's excited to join you tomorrow for that. A lot of great things happening. So let's go ahead and pray, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, I realize tonight during the message how much part of Laodicea I personally have been part of. And Lord, I know many of us probably feel like we just have such a comfortable, pampered life. And Lord, help us to be willing to be used by you, Lord, to serve others in need. And may we also realize our own sinful condition, which is more repulsive, really, than leprosy. And Lord, we need healing that we can't give of in and of ourselves. We need your help. So may we surrender to you, Lord, to be healed and then to also help others to meet the divine physician. And so, Lord, please bless us tonight as we leave this place. May the message really come home to our hearts. And thank you so much for the Sabbath that reminds us of our wonderful Creator. In Jesus' name, amen. Good evening to all.